You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
If you've been paying attention to the news recently, you may be under the impression that New Zealand is being threatened by hordes of youths committing ram raids, burglaries, and more. The situation has obviously caused some concern. However, the statistics of youth offending do not back up what we're facing, as quoted from the New Zealand Herald, a ticking time bomb. Youth offending has decreased significantly over the past decade, and former BFM volley Katie Doyle of Stuff says that the narrative is shaped by reports that fail to contain information about the factors driving youth crime or context on the overall statistics of youth offending. I spoke to Dr. Ronald Kramer, Senior Criminology Lecturer at the University of Auckland, about how this media coverage doesn't show the full picture of what is actually happening. The media has called this recent wave of youth offending an epidemic, and at one point I believe Tove O'Brien called it terrorism. Is this an accurate description of what we're seeing at the moment? Are we truly having a once-in-a-lifetime surge of youth offending?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I saw a story the other day which indicated that youth offending was generally going down or had gone down in recent years. I think one of the problems with talking about something like youth offending is it's too broad a category, and so it's effectively meaningless. There's a lot of things that build the crime rate concerning youth offending. There's a lot of particular behaviours that go into that. And so I think what we're probably actually seeing is just some novel variation or sort of offshoot of, you know, some offending behaviour that youth happen to be committing, but I would hardly call it an epidemic or anything like that.
There's a lot of discussions around how these crimes should be punished, but is there more of a conversation to be had around how these crimes should be prevented from happening in the first place?
Yeah, I think so. Prevention gets tricky. For a lot of people, I think prevention means how to physically stop this type of offending from happening. So what we often see when stuff like this happens or events like this emerge is a call for some kind of tech solution. So, you know, I've seen a few reports about bollards and barricades and things like that. And I'd say they're kind of, that kind of prevention thinking may work in the short term and it may stop a particular kind of behavior. But it doesn't really address the underlying motivation to such behaviours in the first place. And so if you focus on technological type solutions, the most likely thing you'll probably do is just displace or create new forms of deviant behaviour. So yeah, prevention is important, but then there's a question about what we actually mean and understand by it. And in a lot of, I think with a lot of crime, the motivation to it is a product of sort of structural arrangements, people's living circumstances, the difficulties they're experiencing. And so if we're serious about prevention, I think we need to focus on those more complicated layers that create subjects that are motivated to engage in criminalized behavior.
Tove O'Brien said that the more that we plaster these crimes across the media, the more copycats will be encouraged to commit crimes as well. How do you respond to this? Do you think she's right?
No, not exactly. I'm not agreeing with a lot of these people, am I? No, it's a copycat theory of sort of crimes causation, right? And I think it fails logically. The media exposes a lot of people to the behavior. So if that were true, we'd probably be seeing a lot more of it. But it's also not a theory that is well substantiated sort of empirically. I mean, by the same token, you would have to ban all violence on TV, you know, every other sort of manifestation in the media of behaviors we see as problematic. So I just don't think that those copycat theories really make any sense. They're a bit of a cliche, I think, to say, oh, people see it in the media and so they go out and do it. Like, well, people see a lot of stuff in the media and they don't go out and do it as a result. So I just don't think those theories, you know, have much merit.
Why do you think the media is so interested in this so-called surge of crime? Is it because, you know, it gets easy clicks, it's easy to scapegoat these out-of-control children, or is it deeper than that?
I think it is a bit of what you say. It's easy to scapegoat. It is, I suppose, it's kind of clickbait. It's a bit unusual. The other reasons I would sort of add to your list, though, it has a sort of visual component, which is probably appealing to a lot of media because a lot of it probably gets caught on CCTV and things like that. And so it has that story quality to it, right? It can make it a pretty easy story. But I also think there's other reasons as well. Media often obsesses over property crimes that affect businesses and small businesses, and I would say that's a product of sort of a media that is overwhelmingly concerned with the business community and what they experience. So I think there's, you know, sort of economic reasons in there as well. To me, it's odd. It's like there's probably not that many of these that are actually happening. And what's peculiar about this to me is their property crimes. You know, I think these people could be doing things that are a lot worse. So this is a weird way to put it, but on some level, you know, we should be grateful that they're not out there, say, robbing people or something, right? These are crimes that don't actually have victims in the sense of, like, people being directly victimized, right? So we probably make a big deal out of it, though, because of who it affects, and it primarily affects business communities, and media tend to obsess over that. My other guess here is COVID is sort of played out. This just seems to be, you know, something to put on the agenda, perhaps.
We're seeing accusations that the government is soft on crime, but as these cases involve children, what is the appropriate way of addressing it?
So I think the idea of government as being soft on crime, to start with, is just rubbish. There's no evidence for, like, soft on crime. We live in an incredibly punitive society, but I think you get those kinds of calls every time something like this happens. You know, there's this knee-jerk reaction, we need to intensify penalties, you know, make punishment harsher, all the rest of it. We've had that for the last 50 years. It hasn't worked. I mean, any sort of serious criminologist knows it doesn't work. It's really just conservative rhetoric, I think, at the end of the day. In terms of, like, you know, what you would do, I think for me that goes back to the motivation question that we spoke about, and things around prevention. So, you know, you can have a very simple tech solution, put, you know, target hard and all the rest of it. I think that will be short term. I think if we're genuinely worried about the motivation to these behaviours, we have to ask larger questions about the kind of social conditions in which these behaviours emerge. A lot of people have been financially strained by COVID, and they've been under a lot of financial stress just due to current sort of economic conditions. You know, New Zealand is a sort of country founded on colonisation and an enduring kind of racism, and so that disadvantages a lot of people. So I think you've got real structural disadvantage, and that creates people who are motivated to offend. And so, you know, if we're serious about changing these kinds of behaviours, again, I think we have to go to that more difficult structural level to address these kinds of behaviours.
That was Dr. Ronald Kramer, Senior Criminology Lecturer at the University of Auckland, speaking about the media framing of youth crime.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.